grace and peace. Grace and peace. Oh my gosh, you know the Holy Spirit is so good. I was in prayer, and I was asking God, I said, well, you know, what do you really want me to speak on today? And he gave me a message. And then we come out, and the pastor's pen, which was so eloquently read by Leah this morning. We appreciate you, Leah. Pastor, is it recorded, the pen? Is it recorded on our tape, the pastor's pen? Well, we're going to do something a little different today. Sister Leah, would you be so kind to come up and read the pen so that it can be on the recording, Sister Leah? Amen. We love our youth. Can we give our encouragement? Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. Amen. Thank God for liberty.
Thank God.
Youth Day Pastor's Pen, September 26, 2010. We salute those of you who are participants in this youth ministry, as you are especially blessed to know that your relationship with God began before the creation of the world. This is when you were actually chosen and accepted by Him according to Ephesians 1 and 4. The fact that you are in possession of this information effectively gives you an advantage over those who live in doubt and fear in this world. You can feel secure and take great comfort in knowing that you do not belong to God as a result of your decision, but you are forgiven and came into relationship with Him as a result of His eternal will and purpose. It is so important that all of God's people understand the glorious blessing of having been previously selected as a member of the body of Christ. It's also important for you to understand that God views your relationship with Him as permanent, which means that nothing that happens in His life can ever separate you from Him. In Romans 8, 38 through 39, the Apostle Paul states in these great gospel scriptures, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor messengers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things about to be, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is further verified by the Kingdom Gospel Scripture, John 10:27-28. "According as I said to you, my sheep do hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and eternal life I give to them, and they shall not perish to the age, and no one shall pluck them out of my hand." This reveals that God is gentle, loving, and aware of your self-centeredness and shortcomings. Yet He from the beginning has always been deeply committed to His relationship with you. This reveals that although we were all viewed as sinners worthy of His punishment, His purpose and love for us have overruled all the situations of this life, because Jesus in eternity received the punishment for our sin nature. The Grace Gospel Church Youth Ministry believes and teaches that all of God's elect are secured by the fact that we were foreknown, predestinated, called, sanctified, glorified, and placed in Christ before we were ever temporarily placed in our depraved bodies upon this earth. So in looking at all these facts, we have concluded that our loving God has from the beginning known us in an intimate and personal way. It is this knowledge that causes us to have confidence in what God has accomplished for us before we were ever created.
Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand for Leah? Hallelujah. Pastor Cutler, you can testify that I did not call you about this message, because I am about to teach the same message that was in the pastor's pen, using two of the three same verses. Amen. What that testifies is the work of the Holy Spirit, that He is the teacher. One of my friends was a little offended one time. You know, a pastor will get up and he'll say, anytime anybody comes up to preach, I don't care if it's Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. And then when I started preaching, he said, and Minnie Mouse. So I'm saying that even Minnie Mouse gets a word from God. Amen. What we're going to be talking about this morning comes from the pastor's pen, dated 11/22/09, and it's titled, "The Essence of Eternal Life." And as a subtitle, we're going to be concentrating on maturity and spiritual development, and the fact that it is the primary designer's goal, whereas one's service and ministry follow and flow accordingly. You are going to serve God, you youth will serve God, according to the liberty that has been given us through Christ, through the Word of God and the Gospels of the Apostle Paul, those 14 epistles that we concentrate on. This is going to allow you to minister and to live the life, the overcoming life, realizing that it's all done in Christ and we're complete in Him, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? Because that's a big question today. Everywhere I go, when people understand that we are a grace-believing church, they always ask me, what do you think about once saved, always saved?
Right.
We always hear that.
Right.
I don't care where I go. That's always a question that's put to me once people realize that I believe in teaching a gospel that's a little bit different. They want to know, where do we stand on once saved, always saved?
Right.
But you know, being saved means being secure. Being saved means being safe. And in Christ, we are always safe, always secure. Because when did we become secure and safe in Christ? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. You know, peace is defined as a state of perfect harmony of mind as it relates to our surrounding environment. And the whole world is searching for peace. They're not going to have it because they don't know the Prince of Peace. They don't know the Lord of Peace. They don't know the God of Peace. Because they don't, if they're not in the body of Christ, then they cannot have peace. Because if you don't know God, you can't know peace. They go hand in hand. You know, Romans 15:33 reads, "And the God of peace be with you." Amen. That's the very last verse in Romans. May the God, and the God of peace be with you. I'm telling you, young people, the God of peace is with you. The God of peace is with you. You know, Paul talks about the peace of God, the peace with God, peace in God. 12 times he talks about peace from God. In Colossians 3:15, it talks about the peace of Christ ruling your heart. Now, that's what we want to get to. We want to get to the point where as we walk our daily lives and as we're around so much turmoil and confusion that's going on, our daily occurrences, most of the time it's hectic, to say the least. Even our young people have trials and tribulations. You know, they're in schools where people are not, they don't know God, a lot of cussing going on, a lot of violence in the world. You know, we look at TV, there's so much violence. All around us is violence. The newsprint is violent. The internet is violent. Everything is violent and there's so much turmoil. But our young people can take hope in the fact that we have peace with God.
Right.
And that regardless of what's going on, you have the peace of God.
Right.
That you are products of peace. That you're born into peace. And that's real important. You know, I was a young person in the 60s, and you all might think that was a long, long time ago. And you know, it kind of was. That was called the Decade of Peace. We had the peace sign. Everybody, y'all remember?
Yep,
the peace sign. We wore peace necklaces and jewelry.
Yep.
We marched for peace and equality. We were marching for voting rights and against the Vietnam War. And we developed, President Kennedy developed the Peace Corps.
Yep.
You know, but everything I just mentioned is all physical. And if it's all physical, it's all futile. And it's all temporary. And guess what? It bust the 70s, which were a crazy, crazy generation. We didn't solve and get any of the peace we marched for and depended on in the 60s. And here we are in 2010, and we still don't have it. It's all vanity and vexation. It's all an illusion. There is no peace outside of knowing God. So as you walk with God, you walk in peace. You walk without God, you don't have any peace. And that's what's wrong with the world. As the body of Christ, we have the peace of God. He is our life, and He is our peace. We must always view life from the vertical plane of our salvation. And this is what you've got to learn. You've got to have salvation right. You've got to have the fact that you are safe and secure in Christ. And then nothing can push you over. You won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You won't follow every fad. You won't be caught up in all the things that the world is doing. And that's important for us today. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 5, and I'd like my reader to read verses 1 to 5. I was blessed by this, and this past Tuesday we went over that same scripture in our prayer And it was a blessing to me then, and I hope it blesses you now. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Do I have a reader?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
King James first, please.
Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, King James Version. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
And Rita, could you read number 5 in the Greek, please?
Number 5 in the Interlineal Greek. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of us through the Spirit wholly given to us.
Young people, the love of God has been poured out upon you. The love of God. It's the love of God that is going to guide you. And it has been poured out. Hasn't been dribbled. Hasn't been just sprinkled. It's poured out on you. And as you walk through life and have various occurrences, that love of God that has been poured out on you is going to sustain you. That love of God that has been poured out on you is going to encourage you. That love of God that has been poured out on you is going to help you to stand during these evil days. That love of God is going to sustain you, and it has been poured out, given to you abundantly. Hallelujah. And that is what's going to bring you through. That's what's going to cause you to be different. That's what's going to cause you to stand out. That's what's going to cause you not to be swayed away from the doctrines of truth that you've learned as a youth. It's the love of God that's poured out on you. What is the reoccurring theme of the truth of the gospel? It is that we are saved, and you got to have salvation right. You don't have salvation right, you won't have the rest of the stuff right either. It's that you're justified by faith, and that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When did we get all of that? Well, we got it in eternity. Yeah, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3, it says, our real life is hidden in Christ in God. And when did that life actually start? It was actualized in eternity and manifested in time. So you got to have that right. You know, right thinking always produces right action. And when you have it right about the gospel, then your actions can line up. And let's listen, it's not about us anyway. It is all about Him. So the manifested life that we live day by day was actualized in eternity, and it's only mirrored in time. You know, I always like it when, I know you guys are students, and I always like it when science finally lines up with the truth of God. We know the truth of God is, it stands on its own, but sometimes we get it right down here. The secular population get it right. There's a series on TV, and it's in reruns now. It's about the wormhole with Morgan Freeman. And he says in the advertisement, he says, are we here? Or is this only a reflection of there? And that's, I say, oh my God, maybe he read how Pastor Cuff is writing. Yeah, he says, is this real or is the real there? Yes. And we know that the real is the actualized version, the version from eternity, the version from the beginning, the version from the original decree of God. That's the real. And what we see here is just a reflection. Even science is lining up and getting it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just love it. It tickles me when I look at the Science Channel. I look at that a lot because, you know, there's not a whole lot left on TV that's worth looking at. But some of those things are very enlightening, and I just enjoy them. But he says, is this real or is this a mirrored reflection? Do you not hear that all the time at the Grace Gospel Church? Because that is the truth. God's goal and purpose for his elect, the body of Christ, is immortality or eternal life. That's what our journey here is all about. It's about our eternal life in Christ. The Grace Gospel truth lets us know that we have eternal life because we have always had eternal life. That is there is the real. This that is here is just a mirrored image. This is passing away. That there has always been. And if you can kind of get that straight, I don't want to confuse you, but our eternal life is our real life. It's the hidden life. It's not the life that we see daily, but it's our real life. We are saved because we've always been saved. Yeah, we've always been saved. We are justified because we've always been justified. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The blood was shed for us before the foundation of the world. We are righteous because we've always been righteous. Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Not our own righteousness. The Bible tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing you can do to earn a position in Christ. It's a done deal. It was done in eternity before the foundation of the world. We cannot join a club. We can't recite a prayer. We can't say a mantra. There's nothing we can do to get into the body of Christ. We were elected in eternity. You were selected before the foundation of the world to be a member of the body of Christ. And guys, young people, don't get any better than that. You have the highest calling right now as a member of the body of Christ. Yeah, Ephesians 3:1-5, and we've already read it, but can we read it again, please? Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5. You know what? You can't never get enough of Ephesians.
No way.
Can't never get enough of Romans. Matter of fact, you can't never get enough of the 14 epistles. Yeah. I read some of the other Bibles sometime, but it's good history. Little Bible stories, you know. But we have the best covenant. Yeah. Well, if you already have the best, why go back to the less? So the little time I have, I try to spend it there where I'm going to be encouraged. I'm reading my own mail. I'm staying in my own Bible. And that is what helps me. Reader, can you please read Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, please, King James.
Ephesians chapter 1, King James Version. 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame and before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Can you please read it in the Greek, please?
In the Greek. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every spiritual blessing, with every blessed spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Hallelujah.
Predestinating us.
Yeah, hallelujah.
To adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him, having chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, us holy and unblemished. We are complete in Christ. And that's what you got to understand, young people, that you are complete in Christ. Everything that you need to make it from here to your glorified state, which is our final mission in eternity, is already done. It's done for you. It's done for you. We don't have to strive and pray and beg and wonder if we're going to make it to the other side of the mountain. You've already made it. You are complete in Christ. And when we get when that becomes a reality to us, we realize that whatever goes on in life and time, this too shall pass. We're able to put our life occurrences in proper perspective. We are able to consider our day-to-day dilemmas solved.
Hallelujah.
Consider them solved. No need to stand up all night walking, scratching, wondering, begging, pleading, worrying, because you are complete in Christ and it's already done. You know, when I was a young girl and in the church, I was a teenager, and I kind of stayed around all the mothers. I didn't hang out with the kids my age, the younger people, because I had a lot of problems and they had more problems than me, and I didn't think they could help me much. But the mothers, Mother Rogers, Mother Bivens, and some of that bunch. Sister Ruth Nolan, you know, I hung around them. They're the ones that could pray and say to you, go to sleep, baby, it's already done.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Those women had walked with God. Matter of fact, my brother used to tease me all the time back in that day. He said, you know, I got five friends and their age don't total 100, and you got two and it's 200. You know, because I was Mother Rogers and Mother Grimm and some of that bunch, and they were all, you know, in their 90s, and Mother Rogers even drove till she was 90, you know, so when she stopped driving, I'd drive around. But he would say, you know, why you got all these old friends? I said, they're talking the talk I want to hear.
Right.
They're telling me that I'm in Christ,
yeah,
and that it don't get any better.
Yeah.
They're telling me that Jesus has already fixed it.
Yeah.
And you know what? He had already fixed it, and he's already fixed it for you. And when you get that knowledge in you, you're going to be okay. Are we all the whole world in eternity? Because, you know, the whole world, sometimes people tell you, you know, we are all children of God. I tell them, We ain't all children of God. They say, what do you mean? Don't you believe that are we all the children of God? No. Some of them are children of the devil. Yeah. We are all fellow creatures of the same Creator, but we're not all children of God. We're not all the body of Christ. Amen. We're not all the body of Christ. You know, in eternity, all souls will continue in some form of existence after the end of this physical life. And we find that as a reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 46 to 51. And I want you to read that on your own. But we'll make a notation of 51, which reads, behold, a mystery to you I tell all. We shall not fall asleep, but all we shall be changed. We're going to leave these physical bodies, and we're going to take on incorruptible bodies. And we are going to be with God through eternity. That provision has already been made for you. God is not up in heaven now picking and selecting and wondering who he's going to save and who's going to be lost. All this was done, completed in eternity. A done, completed deal. You know, and that's important to know, because as the elect of God, we are alive in Christ. In the non-elect, they have death and separation from God. You know, so the plan for you is to be with God in eternity. The plan for the non-elect is to be separated. Reader, can you turn, please, to Romans chapter 9, verses 11 to 13? And we're going to emphasize verse 11, because, you know, we need to make sure that you young people understand how you got here.
All right.
And what's in store for you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not governed by Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not governed by which party is in power.
Come on, yeah.
You know, I pray for all of them.
No.
Yeah, because I know that God puts one up,
mm-hmm,
and he takes one down.
Yeah.
You know, the former president we had, I said, oh my Lord, God, how did you let him get in? You know, we know they tricked us in the election. See, we had them voting rights, and we still vote sometimes don't mean nothing anyway, does it? Not when he called to congratulate him, you remember, and he said, oh, no, my brother already fixed that. He fixed Florida. You know, do you know you cannot put your trust in earthly systems? We must put our trust in God. We must keep looking into the book, which gives us liberty and hope. That's where our affections should be set, not on our everyday occurrences, because all this is going to pass. You are right now far above all earthly occurrences. And so if you can keep your focus right, you'll understand that. And how we got there is that we were the elect of God. Reader, can you please read? Romans 9, verses 11 to 13.
Romans 9, King James Version, 11 to 13. For the children not yet being born, neither done anything, any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
Amen.
For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
That's right.
And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
God picked and chose.
That's right.
You know, you'll hear people say, well, I chose Jesus. I joined the church. I gave my hand to the preacher. I recited the sinner's prayer. All that is futile unless you were elected in eternity.
Amen.
Unless you were selected and picked. And it hasn't got anything to do with what you do. Some people will tell you, I'm living an overcoming Christian life, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing... Well, a pastor talked sometime about, somebody said, my life can't be marked. You know, and in actuality, it ain't even about you. It's all about him. It's all about the fact that we were saved in eternity, elected, selected to be part of the body of Christ. It's not an accident that you were born in the family you were born in.
No.
It's not an accident your mama's who your mama, your daddy's who your daddy, your grandma who's your grandma. God had this purpose for you. We don't understand all the purposes working to God, but he had selected you in eternity to be born to who you were born to, raised by who you're being raised by, for his glory, for his testimony, and for his power. He's showing himself strong in the earth through you. Yeah, you might say, well, I'm just a little kid, or I'm young, or I haven't done anything, or I don't know everything. It's already a done deal. God already has your life planned. God already has you selected for his divine purpose and glory. And that's a good thing. Verse 11, it says that Esau have I loved, Jacob have I hated. They weren't even born. God selected one above the other. And against the whole Jewish economy, it would always say that the younger brother would serve the older brother. But not so. God flipped that thing. And he selected Jacob, the younger, over Esau, the older. So, you know, God makes his rules and does his own selection his own way. And, you know, we're not to look among each other. Sometimes you can look at your neighbor or look at your friend and say, well, they've got this or they're doing this. And the Bible tells us plainly in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, if you compare yourself by yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. And that's because God has an individual plan for you. And his plan for you might be different than his plan for your neighbor or your brother or your cousin. So you got to keep in mind that you're an individual as unique as all the snowflakes. As unique as all the stars in the sky. And God has a plan for you, young people. And it's an individual plan designed in eternity just for you. You know, we have to distinguish life from death. Physical life is temporary. Its existence is in the physical realm. And spiritual life or eternal life is our eternal existence, such as the state of God's favor and blessedness. We have the blessedness of God right now. You are right now blessed. We read that already in Ephesians 1. It says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Those are eternal blessings. It's not like having a new car. You know, I like new cars. But what happened with that new car in a year? 2 years? 3 years? It loses a new car smell even quicker now, don't it? You can have a new car smell. I think we need to buy it or something and spray them up. And eventually, you discard it and you want another car, don't you?
Yes.
Because that good new car feeling don't last. Do it. Or clothes, the same thing. All these things are temporary. You all play games, I know, video games. You don't want to play last year's game. Yeah, you want the new game. Yeah. In this physical realm, you're not going to be satisfied. So stop concentrating on those physical things, realizing they have their place. But our ultimate goal is our life in Christ, that hidden life in Christ that's eternal, that never changes. That's what we want to concentrate our efforts on. We want to keep everything in right perspective, young people, realizing that the physical is here, now, and temporary.
Amen.
And that our goal is the eternal, for everlasting, in Christ.
Amen.
Our spiritual life in Christ Jesus is the essence of our eternal existence. Our spiritual life in Christ Jesus is the main part of our eternal existence. And you know, you don't have to wait to get old like me to start looking in the book and seeing who you are in Christ. Look and find out who you are in Christ right now. Find out the benefits of your contract right now. Find out the fact that you're in Him, that all things are about Him, and that you've overcome and that you're strong in the Lord. Find out those things. Those are the things that are the real meaningful things. Those are the things that are everlasting. Those are the things that are going to promote you. Not only for this life, but for the life to come. And we have to keep in mind that we are already in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
We are the body of Christ, and we've always been, having been delivered from the state of separation from God to a blissful abode in Christ. That's where we transcend from death to life. That's where in life we are with Him eternally. The body will fail. Because, you know, every morning I get up, I feel something new that I didn't feel last night. So, oh my God, what was this? Yeah, all this pain here. You know, now when I was your age, I didn't have no pain. Oh my God, I could do a whole lot of things I can't do now. My husband and I go on a date now, and we go and have dinner and go to a movie, and then we try to have dessert afterward, and we fall asleep in the coffee. You know? Well, one time we can stay out. Can't do it now. Oh my God. You know, we're sitting up there yawning. You know, we said, we don't have a night on the town. The night on the town ends about 10 o'clock. But 35 years ago, it wasn't so. Time brings about change, young people. But you have to hold on to those things that never change. And that's where you look into your contract. That's where you look up into the face of Christ. That's where you view life from the vertical plane of our salvation. Hallelujah. And that's where you're going to find your peace. Yeah, yeah. So those are things we got to keep in mind. That we are delivered from the bondage of sin, and we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son right now. Right now. We have this right now. We, the body of Christ, were placed in Christ in eternity, in God's eternal decree. Yeah, that's when it happened. It happened in eternity in God's eternal decree. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and I know all you young people can probably recite it. Can anybody here recite it for us? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Come on. Come on. Can we give Deshaun a hand? Amen. Amen. That's our theme. Any man should boast. It has nothing to do with you, and it's all about Him. Do we strive to do the right thing? Absolutely. As we grow in grace, our life should exemplify that. But your salvation is a done, completed fact. It is done. It's complete. You are in Christ. You have eternal life. We need to understand that our hidden life in Christ was actualized and completed in God's eternal decree. God is not making daily decisions, guys.
Amen.
Yeah, He's not in heaven waiting to strike you down because you did something wrong.
No.
Although we're not giving you a license to sin, by no means. Romans chapter 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the Bible says, oh no, God forbid. As you know better, you do better. As you come into the light, you walk into the light. You know, and you'll find that as you do that, God is walking with you. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you the way. Yeah, and you're going to learn to listen to Him, and you're going to learn to be obedient to the Word of God. And that's where you're going to have your successes, is your obedience to the Word of God. If you've got salvation right, you'll be able to continue on in the things of God, realizing that you are secure and safe in Christ. This knowledge force frees us from the attitude and idea of losing salvation based on passing events or occurrences in time. The events in time do not impact our position in Christ. You all get that? The events in time do not impact our position in Christ. Because if something is done in time, it cannot change what was done and completed in eternity. And that's where we have our security. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. Leah read them already. Yeah, she read them. It reads that, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messengers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things about to be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. Young people, you missed the place to shout. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And He named everything that He thought He could name. And none of those things can change your position in Christ. The fact that you are eternally His is a done, completed deal. Hallelujah. And that should encourage you to move forward. That should encourage you to realize that you will have an opportunity to impact the world for Jesus. Because God does have a plan for you. And your plan is apart from the fact that you've got confidence in knowing that you are in Him. This should put a rest to synergistic thinking that we partner with God in our placement in the body. And I keep putting the emphasis on the placement in the body, because if you got that right, other things will fall in line in your life. Young people, how can you move on in Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. Our spiritual walk is influenced by our perception of the aforementioned truths. The fact that we are in Christ, that Christ is in us, that we were selected and elected in eternity. Our spiritual walk will be impacted by the fact we are secure and safe and saved. And then you're able to move forward from that point on. You're able to glean the truth from the gospel of the grace of God from that point on. Philippians 1 and 10 talks about, "Unto the end that you may prove the things differing, that you may be secure without offense unto the day of Christ." And that's our goal. That is our goal. Being secure. Being bound to things differing. Yeah. As you look into the message, if you look into the book, the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God, it's going to make you different.
Yeah.
It's going to make you different.
Yeah.
You won't be following the pack. You won't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine.
Hallelujah.
You know, all these things, kids, sometimes they want to be gods, and sometimes they want to be this. They want to be. You won't be mucked up and tied up and all that. Because you have the understanding and the reality in your heart that you belong to Christ, and you will walk accordingly. You walk upright before God accordingly. And that's important. You will be proving those things differing. You are now ready for maturity and successful spiritual walk. Because you got the right foundation.
Right.
You know who you are in Christ. And you know why you're here.
Right.
Things differing is translated in the Greek as bear or carry through. As a member of the body of Christ, as a young person, you are going to bear and carry through. You'll exemplify the life of Christ. People will look at you and see Christ. People who will not read a Bible will look at your life and realize there's something different. And they'll want to know what it is. You know, when I was growing up, we said to be sanctified and holy, you had to look holy. Yeah. And everybody comes up, we had to look at her. Couldn't wear no pants and no makeup and no jewelry. But now, you know what? I always wondered. I the liberty in Christ. We know that it's not about the look, is it? It's about what was done for us and what's happened in transformation in your heart. An advanced one gonna keep you from going to heaven. I had some saints, my husband, you know, I love him, and he said, you know, I love you, but you're just too plain. I said, plain? I said, oh my God. You know, I had gone out that night, but it was nighttime. Yeah. I soon started wearing makeup. Then the saints came against me. Yes, they did. Yeah, they did. They said, Sister Lauren, you know, you got that eye makeup on, and you got that lipstick on, and that rouge. You know, we don't know if God is pleased with that. I said, well, I don't see it in the book where God is against it. I said, I know my husband is pleased. They said, well, if you could just take off the eye makeup. I said, he especially liked the eye makeup. Yeah, he especially liked that. They didn't even give the women engagement rings. I think the men were just trying to get off cheap. They gave them engagement watches. Because they said, what's going to wear no rings? Oh, my God. But now you see those sisters today, they full of jewelry. They got some rings and things now. Because they done got liberated. Yeah. I said all I have to say, that there is liberty in Christ. There's liberty in Christ. We have people that are elected of God all over the world. In all occupations, serving God. And that's what you're going to be like. You'll cover the earth with the knowledge and power of wisdom of who you are in Christ. And that's going to be very encouraging to us all. So as you go through things, bearing or carrying through, consider life's events solved. You're wondering whether or not you're going to make the grade. Consider it solved. You wonder whether or not you're going to make the team. Consider it solved. You wonder whether or not you're going to get in certain college. Consider it solved. You wonder whether or not you're going to have a certain occupation. Consider it solved. Because your real life is your life that's hidden in Christ, and it's already done. So I want you to consider it solved. You're ready to view life now from the vertical plane of our position in Christ, and this is going to give you the peace of God. You're going to be able to rise above all that's going on in your daily occurrences, realizing that God already has fixed it. You'll realize that God already got it. You can turn the light off. You are now ready to stay in your gospel, the 14 epistles of Paul, where you're going to find liberty. You know, Brother Liberman, Elder Liberman always talks about the liberating gospel. Do you know the gospel of the grace of God will set you free? It'll set you free. And you'll walk as a free person among those that are enslaved and bound. You young people will have it, what everybody's looking for. They'll be saying, what is causing you not to tremble? What's causing you to have peace? And you can share with them the gospel of the grace of God and who you are in Christ, the fact that you were elected in eternity. And that it's already done. Hallelujah. That it's not about you, but that it's all about Him. You are now ready to walk sincerely and without offense into the day of Christ. You are ready to grow up in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And ending, maturity in spiritual development is the primary designer's goal. Whereas one service and ministry follow and flow accordingly. Go, young people, in the grace of God.